sometimes things hit us in life and it just creates drama, and we don't necessarily want that to be the case, but that happens to every one of us. And Paul had these things happen in Jerusalem that were dramatic. And so when he arrives there, we read this in Acts 21, he wastes no time in getting a hold of the spiritual leaders in the church. He stays overnight in a home of a friend. He experiences great hospitality. He and his companions met with James and all the elders the very next day. He shared in detailed fashion how his ministry among the Gentiles and how these pagans had responded to the gospel. Though Luke doesn't mention specifically that it was at this time that Paul presented the gifts of money for the poor, we can assume it happened at that very time. And so after all this was one of the reasons that Paul had gone to Jerusalem. So we can also assume that the elders received the gift with thankfulness, since Luke, who was witnessing everything that was happening, recorded that when they heard Paul's report, they praised God. In fact, Paul's earlier prayer requests outlined in his letter to the Romans, they were answered. So as they laid what must have been a lot of money at the feet of the elders in Jerusalem, it just became proof that Gentiles throughout the Roman world were saved. They were converted to Christ. Nothing demonstrates that commitment more than that generosity. And as encouraging as that prayer service must have been for Paul, he had to face some huge disappointments. The tone of the meeting changed quickly, which may have been one reason why Luke had given so little time and space to record the elders' response to Paul's report and the gifts. These men were very concerned about the attitude some of the fellow believers had about Paul. Said, "You see, brother, how many thousands of Jews have believed, and all of them are zealous for the law." But what must have been disturbing to Paul had to be their next statement. "They have been informed that you teach all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or live according to the customs." Well, these were rumors. Paul had not taught Jews to stop circumcising their kids. In fact, when Timothy, whose mother was a Jew and whose father was a Gentile, decided to join Paul's missionary team, he had this young man circumcised in order to enable him to communicate effectively the gospel to the Jews. On the other hand, it's true that Paul had taught emphatically that no one could get saved by practicing circumcision or keeping any other aspect of the law of Moses. Salvation comes by grace through faith. In other matters, however, Paul exercised his freedom to become all things to all men, so that by all means some might be saved. 1 Corinthians 9:22. In fact, to the Jews he became like a Jew to win the Jews. But James and the other elders put the question squarely to Paul. "What shall we do?" they asked. "They were certainly here that you have come." And so, evidently not waiting for his response, they answered their own question. "Do what we tell you." They remember that four Jewish Christians had made a vow and were about to go through a period of purification. They insisted that Paul join these men in those rites and even pay their expenses. So now he's in a difficult spot. He saw the fear in his brother's eyes and he heard the urgency in their voices. And so consequently, he decided to take their advice, which was in harmony with his personal freedom to practice his Jewishness without compromising the Christian gospel of salvation by grace. Unfortunately, when you look at it from a human point of view, the plan backfired. A number of Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Savior had come from the province of Asia, obviously to participate in that feast called Pentecost. They recognized Paul, no doubt having heard him speak in Ephesus during that three-year period he was there. In fact, they may have been among those who initially rejected Paul's message in the synagogue, and they had witnessed his productive ministry in that school of Tyrannus. They may have also been among those who joined in the riot following that great bonfire when so many Jews and Gentiles had burned their books of the occult. Well, ironically, they were about to be a part of another riot, one that would turn out far differently than the one in Ephesus. At that time, Paul had escaped unharmed, but this time he was about to be locked up, just as the Holy Spirit had revealed all along. So we read about Trophimus, this Ephesian. What irritated these men the most was that they had seen Paul with this guy Trophimus, one of his traveling companions. Because of their extreme prejudice against Paul, they reported that he had taken this man into the temple area. Well, had this been true, it would have been a serious violation of Jewish law. Gentiles could enter the outer court, the place where Jesus encountered the money changers, but they could never cross over into the inner court. To do so was punishable by death. The Roman government had authorized the Sanhedrin to carry out this punishment against any Gentile who had violated that restriction. If Paul had indeed taken Trophimus into this holy place, which he had not, he would have been guilty of violating this Jewish law. Accusing him falsely, that group of Asian Jews seized Paul, shouting indictments against him. So unfortunately, the crowd believed, and the whole city was angry, and the people came running from all directions. And so the scene turned nasty and ugly, just as it had been so many years ago when Paul had overseen Stephen's death. This time, Paul was the one who was the object of their hatred. Crowds of people surrounded him after he had been dragged from the temple area. They had one objective in mind, and that is to kill him. These angry people would have succeeded in beating Paul to death if a group of Roman soldiers had not intervened. So, confused and bewildered by what was happening, the Roman commander attempted to maneuver Paul into the garrison of the Romans, where they could at least have a reasonable conversation. So, God is in control of each of these instances. He can be trusted.